Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Wednesday, the 25th day of July, year of our Lord, 2012. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Well, this is the day we've been waiting for, ladies and gentlemen. This show was announced about a week ago that we would have my friend Mike Harris on. Of course, you know Mike. He's the gentleman who follows me here on Republic Broadcasting. And without further ado, good morning, Mike Harris.
Well, good morning, John. How are you today?
Well, I'm sitting here in the sunshine in Crawford County at 71 degrees on the way to 104 degrees and high humidity.
Well, I'm sitting out here in the Arizona desert. It's still dark because the sun hasn't come up yet. It's only 5 in the morning. And we're probably about 82 degrees outside right now with an expected high of 102. So we're not going to be as hot as you are in Missouri. And for all of your listeners who don't know, my family is originally from Crawford County, Missouri as well. And my family's lived in the same place, had the same property now for, I was a seventh generation born in Missouri. And my family goes back there to 1808. And it's amazing that you come from the Davis line, I come from the Earl and Harris line. And somewhere along the line, I know we're shirt-tail cousins.
Well, actually, I'm not from the Davis line. My great-grandfather was a Mr. Bridges, John Bridges, and my family goes back to I haven't done the family tree, quite frankly. I know back to about the 1880s. But here's something about Crawford County you probably don't know, Mike. There's a 13-mile diameter meteor crater in Crawford County.
Well, you know, I'm a little ahead of you on that.
You are.
I've been a science geek since I was, you know, okay, 4 or 5 years old. And I find those things inordinately fascinating. And, you know, I love the area. It's just a wonderful part of the world. And if anyone who has ever been there has been down to the Hoosaw River, I highly recommend it. It's good fishing, it's clean water, and it's just a magnificent country down there.
Right, the Hoosaw is basically walking distance of where I'm sitting. Mike, we got some serious things to talk about. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Harris and I have our backpacks off, ready to do some radio. Mike, it was 2 weeks ago today that I announced the information I received from two confidential sources. Now, one was a confidential source who is a dependent of a Department of Defense employee. Part of continuity of government contingency planning, by the way. Not all DOD and not all government employees are part of COG, continuity of government contingency planning. Anyway, at this briefing, which they had to sign a non-disclosure agreement before the briefing began, they were told that they were being put on standby for evacuation, that they may get as much as 2 weeks' notice, they may not. And they started telling these dependents about Nibiru, Planet X, and how this planetary-sized object was going to cause massive flooding on all coastal areas. The map they were shown is very similar to the map of my DVD. I need to get a copy of that to you, by the way, Mike, if I haven't. And that was pretty much it for that source. The second source is in the Department of Homeland Security. And that source basically confirmed what the first source said without going any further on that. And then the following day, or the same day, I should say, you came up with your own sources, Mike, and why don't you tell us about those?
Well, the source that first told me about this, and I've been doing some digging since then, but the source that first told me about this is a director-level individual for a foreign intelligence agency that I have occasion to speak with now and then. And what I was told, and I was told this probably maybe 60 or 90 days ago, and I didn't put a lot of credence in it at the time, but as I've researched, I have to put more and more credence in it. And as a qualifier, I have to say this up front that, you know, perhaps this is being floated as disinformation to discredit people and to discredit. So I have to give a caveat there. I don't think it is, but it could be just that type of effort. But I was told that to be very prepared on the dates of August 17th and the dates of September 26th that a planet-sized object would be passing its passing very, very near the Earth. And I was told that the distance, the closest distance, would be maybe 5 to 10 Earth diameters. It would come that close. And that we should be on the be prepared for massive earthquakes. And as a result of those earthquakes, tsunami-level flooding in coastal areas. Now, since that time, I've done some more digging. And I spoke with intelligence sources within the U.S., who not only confirmed that, but added some more fuel to the fire. And one of the things is that this object is coming in at an extremely high rate of speed. And what the other concern is, besides just the near passage, is that as this thing passes through the asteroid belt, it's going to disturb the orbit, the stable orbits of many asteroids that are out there that are orbiting, and be like a cue ball on a billiard table and send these things going helter-skelter in every direction so that no one knows where they're going to end up and what their ultimate destinations are going to be, and that we may be living with after effects of this for a number of years into the future.
Absolutely. And then you had a second source, I understand, as well.
Well, the second source was the one within the U.S. government. There was another. My primary source was from a foreign intelligence agency.
Right. Well, the distance that you described, 10 times the Earth is about 24,000 miles in diameter. So 10 times that would only be a quarter million miles. That's about the distance of the moon, by the way.
Yeah, that's close. And I've been told that the size of this object could be as big as the moon. Could be. It is being tracked currently, and the primary tracking station is that large dish in Puerto Rico, I believe it is. So I'm trying to learn more and as much as I can, as quickly as I can, because this will affect a lot of people. Now, I also have to tell you, I have been told point blank information that I can't share, because I was told if I go on the air with this, that my truck's going to blow up with me in it. And mostly what that has to do with the high rate of speed it's traveling at, and how it achieved that high rate of speed. The term slingshot comes to mind.
Right. When this thing comes into our solar system, Mike, it comes up. It's coming from the south, by the way. And as it gets deeper into our solar system, approaching our sun, it picks up speed. Does a loop to loop around the sun. Excuse me. Where it slows down and then starts picking up speed as it goes back out. Now, the size you're describing is not the size I've been hearing forever for the 10th planet. This sounds like something far smaller. Our moon is a fairly small rock compared to the size of Planet X or Nibiru. So I'm a bit confused on that. I have been told also that Nibiru, or the 10th planet, has a debris field about a quarter million miles wide, which would put us well within the debris field if it's coming that close.
Well, John, I have to be honest here. And there's, I don't know what I don't know, and I'm having a hard time discerning what is real information from what is disinformation.
Right.
Because that's one of the things that the powers that be will do, is they will give you bits of information, but they'll also give you bits of disinformation.
Right.
And so it's up to us to use our own discernment to try to determine, hey, what's real and what's bunk. And I'm struggling with this. I have to be very honest.
Well, I've described this live on here. I know you typically don't listen to my show because you're trying to get ready for your own, Mike. But typically what I do with this is, first of all, I describe the quandary that I find myself in, and I think you find yourself in also. We come across information like this from reliable sources that don't know each other, if it's true and we don't report it, then we could be directly responsible for a lot of lives being lost. If it's not true and we report it, well, then we get some egg on our face and life goes on. What I'm doing, Mike, is encouraging people to look at these dates as a opportunity for a training opportunity for us to evaluate our prudent preparedness, develop a plan A, a plan B, maybe even a plan C, to be able to evacuate if we live on a coastal area and be able to have a safe haven to go to. The dates of August 17th and September 26th may or may not be the accurate dates on one hand. On the other, the scientists I work with, and I work with a number of scientists, they're all in agreement that, yes, this thing's coming. And when it does come, it's going to cause massive flooding in all coastal areas. As you probably know, Mike, I've debriefed about 24 Navy veterans who were at the classified briefings, telling them that during their lifetimes, this coastal flooding would occur. So I agree with you. It's a quandary. It's something that we need to encourage people to do their own research, to achieve their own level of discernment, and make decisions based on the knowledge that they gain.
Well, John, if worse comes to worse, it may be a good time to take the family on a camping trip and just be away from any large urban areas at all, because if something of this magnitude occurs, there's going to be mass panic. And when that happens, your freeways are going to be like parking lots, and you're not going to be able to get away. You're going to be stuck where you are. Temperatures are going to flare. People are going to become desperate. And it might not be a bad time to take advantage of a national park somewhere. Take the family out camping. Be prepared. Take as much stuff as you can. That's useful, utilitarian to you, and just be somewhere else. If you've got yourself a cabin or a vacation home or you own rural property someplace, then better yet, you might, like I said, you may just want to be out of the cities.
Well, and you're right.
Turn it into an enjoyable occasion, like you said, a training exercise, if you will, so that you at least minimize the risk and you don't get yourself caught up in a massive urban situation, where you're sitting on a freeway and you can't move because it's bumper to bumper and the cars around you are running out of gas because they've been sitting there for 10 hours idling.
Right. Well, I've talked occasionally, I did recently, about the aerial photograph of Houston, Texas, when people were trying to evacuate when that hurricane was headed that way. I counted the lanes up that weren't moving all in one direction. I think it was 12 or 14 lanes, interstate highway and outer roads. It was an amazing, very scary photograph. Mike, we got a caller here. James from Fort Worth. Good morning, James.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Good.
I was wondering, is there anything to be looking for through other organizations, maybe the Navy around their naval bases in Norfolk and so other places, like just a sign that they're, like, moving everything out, getting it away from the shores? I was wondering if there's anything along those lines that maybe we could look for to give us a little bit of a heads up.
Right, James. Well, the people in the Navy that are part of continuity of government contingency planning are already out. We got a break. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back. One of our hosts here at Republic Broadcasting, we had James from Fort Worth on hold. James, the Office of Naval Intelligence, ONI, have been evacuating their people from coastal areas for a while. The CIA and National Security Agency began in 2005 to evacuate their people to Denver. So there's not much you're going to see, because all the people who are part of continuity of government, the majority of them anyway, were already left the coastal areas.
Okay.
I hope that answers your question.
Well, I've got a sister over there, and that's she's in North Carolina, and so I was just wanting to because
I've
been
watching.
Is she
east or west? Is your sister east or west of the Blue Ridge Parkway?
She's east, and.
Well, the U.S. Navy, James, the U.S. Navy, not John Moore, the U.S. Navy says the East Coast will take damage up to the Blue Ridge Parkway, which is 100 miles from the ocean.
Yeah. She's literally right on the beach. She's got beach.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So I wanted to get some information to her because I've, you know, this subject piqued my interest years ago, and I've been really keeping up with it. And, you know, thanks to you, I've learned a whole lot. So
okay.
Thanks to both you and Mike.
Okay, James. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Mike, we got another caller here. Dennis in Michigan. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, John and Mike. I notice I have a comment and another comment after that. I noticed that the dates between August 17th and September 26th is exactly 40 days and 40 nights. And I believe the previous passages of Nibiru included the sinking of Atlantis, when Moses parted the Red Sea, and also when Noah built his ark, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights.
Right.
And the other comment I wanted to make was, if it's gonna pass within 10 times, the distance of if it's going to be look as the same size as the moon and be about the same distance as the moon, that makes it the same size as the moon, and it couldn't be Nibiru because Nibiru is 4 to 5 times the mass of Earth.
Exactly.
And yeah. I'm thinking that there's a lot of disinformation. However, it could be a planetary body that's coming this way that's not Nibiru. Okay.
Well, that's possible also.
Well, Dennis.
Yeah.
And Dennis, you know, one thing I can say is that, you know, we don't know what we don't know, and we're struggling with as much information as we are disinformation, and as I stated before, trying to tell the difference and discern what's correct and what isn't. This is really a challenge for us. It's at least it is for me. I can't speak for John, but this is a challenge for me.
Oh, it is for all of us. But it could be something else besides Nibiru. But we have to wait and see, because if it was Nibiru, we'd be seeing signs right now. Things would be a lot worse than they are now.
Dennis, yeah. You made a good point, and one of the things that I was told was, as if this object has passed by planet Earth before, and whenever it passes, every time, it causes great havoc. And
right.
So, you know, your point is very well taken. With the historical references. And if I had a choice of believing, predictions or historical references, I'm going to go back to the historical references every time.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was a nice touch for if it is disinformation that if you count the days between the 27th and the 26th of September, exactly 40 days and 40 nights, that's a nice touch. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Dennis. We appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
One more call before the bottom of the hour break. Kathy in Richmond. I guess that's Richmond, Virginia, Kathy?
Yes, sir. It certainly is. And I am, as you know, Richmond is well, I'd say where I am. I'm between Richmond and Virginia Beach, actually, in the rural area, about 100 miles from Virginia Beach. But my question is this, and Mike also, I feel as you do. I don't know what I don't know. I'm an intelligent person, or I'd like to think so. I read a lot. I try to educate myself on matters, and I'm fairly new to this information, believe it or not. So it's very concerning, and I don't know what to believe and what not to believe. I've tried to educate my family, at least tell them so that they have an opportunity to educate themselves if they choose to do so, and they laugh at me. But here's my concern. I leave tomorrow for Florida for a week with family. Everyone's flying in and meeting there. And now I'm scared to death because I don't know whether these dates are accurate or not accurate. What is your opinion on that?
Well, Kathy, first of all, going to Florida in the summertime is really a leap of faith anytime.
Yes.
It's so hot. I'll never go to Florida in the summertime unless somebody pays me a lot of money.
It's family.
Anyway, no, this next week is not within the dates that we're concerned about, so I don't think I'd have any undue concern about that. How about you, Mike?
Well, no, I really don't yet, but, you know, the one thing I want to point out is that there's people who are prepared and who live their life as a way of being prepared. And I have many friends who I talk to, about not just this, but about any contingencies that could happen. Whether it's a
for our break.
Kathy, we'll be back right after the break.
We're visiting with Mr. Mike Harris. Mike is one of our hosts here on Republic Broadcasting. We're talking about information that he and I have gotten from a number of private, trusted sources that don't know each other, all pretty much saying the same thing, with some slight differences, but no great differences. Would you say, Mike?
No, really. The core message is consistent, and like I said, there's variances, and it's the old thing: if you tell 10 people the same story, they're going to tell 10 other people. It's all going to be slightly different, but the core concept is still the same. And before Kathy hung up there, one thing I wanted to point out to her: that people who are prepared are going to be under assault by people who aren't prepared. If this thing happens and things get really rough out there, and the people who failed to prepare for this, and they think you've got something that they want, if their family or they haven't eaten in a week or two, you better be prepared to deal with aggressive people, because they're just not going to take no for an answer, because their survival's on the line.
Absolutely.
And so just 90% of being prepared is mental, 10% is physical.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, I've been in touch with various law enforcement officials in our area down here, and they talk about blowing the bridges that connect St. Louis to this area out here. I mean, that's how they look at it. So there's lots of things that can be done, and people do need to be prepared and live a lifestyle of preparedness, and that way you can live a lifestyle free of fear. We got some callers on hold here. We got Bernie in Michigan. Good morning, Bernie.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Mike. I have three comments. If people would read the Colburn, they have to keep in mind that it starts about 28,000 years ago, and it states in there that we at one time had two moons. The next point is that whatever's coming in, the larger object, Nimru Planet X, is going to be dragging and slingshotting a lot of orbiting material along with it. So
that's the debris field. That's a debris field, Bernie. Yeah,
right,
you're right.
Right.
You're right.
Right. So it could slingshot things in front of it. Okay. Now, the other thing is I track earthquakes. I mean, you have no idea how much I track these. I want to take you back to the 18th of this month, Fiji, 5.9. On the 19th, Afghanistan, 5.5. On the 20th, Kuril Islands, 6.1, 6.3, 5.8. On the 20th, again, Fiji, 5.6. On the 22nd, Bismarck Sea off of Australia, 5.5. Today, Indonesia, a 6.6, and also Solomon Islands, a 6.5.
Now, Bernie, keep in mind that the scientists, the U.S. Geological Survey, changed the Richter scale in 1984,
reducing it.
Most people aren't. That's why I'm saying it. Reducing it by one full number value, which is 1,000%.
Right, and I've also caught them in lies, because if you track some of the earthquakes, you go to the originating companies, they're about 50 to 39% higher, and then USGS downgrades those also.
Right, right. You're absolutely true. And I think, Bernie, as we get closer to this event, you're going to see an increase in number and severity of earthquakes, and probably more volcanoes popping off as well.
Right, right. And what I've seen in the past 2 years is most of this activity is in the southern hemisphere, and it's migrating into the northern hemisphere, although spotty. I'm seeing more and more moving into the northern hemisphere. So, I see this as verification that there is really something serious going on.
Go ahead and comment on that, but because your comment about the southern hemisphere is spot on. I was told the exact same thing, that the primary epicenters of these earthquakes is going to be the southern hemisphere and in Central Asia.
Right, right.
Okay, well, thanks for the call, Bernie. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, we appreciate
it. Have a great day. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We got a call from the other side of the planet here where it's tomorrow. David from Australia calling from tomorrow.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Mike. How goes it?
Real good.
Excellent. Well, I first of all like to say thanks very much for putting out this information because I'm sure it's going to save a lot of lives. I've been following what's been happening with Planet X in Nibiru for a bit over 12 months now. In fact, I called you last year during the Comet Elenin scare, and we had a conversation on the radio, and I remember at the time you said, listen, Comet Elenin is not really anything to worry about, and you did right, and I really appreciate that because it was ultimately just, I guess,
a big zero.
Ruse or a false flag. Sorry?
It was a big zero.
Absolutely. So when you came out this time and said there's something serious happening, I believe it because you could have easily said last year that something was going to happen and obviously didn't. Well, so that's the first point. The second point is my question regarding the size of this planet. I'm really surprised that we haven't had any amateur astronomers on the internet spotting this and reporting it. I know that you've said it has to be viewed by a particular type of telescope, but surely there's some of those around that can actually get the picture.
Well, there are, David. There's an astronomer with the Brazilian National Observatory who's gone public with what he's observing, and you have to be in at least at the, for the moment in the southern hemisphere, extreme southern Chile, Australia, obviously the Antarctic. There's only a very few weeks a year that you can see it in a visible light spectrum. Otherwise, it's in the infrared light spectrum, and normal equipment won't work. But the reports are starting to come out, along with a lot of disinformation. A lot of people in the northern hemisphere are observing objects that they think are this particular object, but they're not, because you can't see it from the northern hemisphere yet. By the time you can see it from the northern hemisphere, it's going to be in our face, literally.
Absolutely. I've been doing a lot of research, and there's an absolute plethora of people with images and YouTube videos claiming to have seen it from the northern hemisphere, and they're all hoaxes, I believe.
Oh, they are. Well, we appreciate your call, David. Anything else this morning?
That's it. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Great job.
And well, you got the board all lit up here, Mike. We have Michael. I don't know where Michael's from, but good morning, Michael.
I think you're talking to me, John. Michael Carrigan from North Carolina. Is that the one?
Okay. I almost became a permanent resident in North Carolina. I love that state. What part of North Carolina are you in, Michael?
Well, I'm 100 miles in from the Barrier Islands, and that's deceiving because between the Barrier Islands and me is this great sound called the Pamlico Sound, so it's all water, and then you got three other big bodies of water, the Noose, the Pamlico, and then the Albemarle Sound. So to say that you're 100 miles in from the coast, that'd be kind of deceiving.
Well, it is, but I assume, well, you're east of the Blue Ridge Parkway, I take it.
Oh, yeah, but I wanted to point out that, like I was telling the lady, the Blue Ridge Parkway from where I am is about 200 to 250 miles. It's in the mountains. It's in the western part of the state. And its elevation goes probably, you've been saying like it's 100 miles. And maybe
it depends. It's not a precise measurement. But at the point you're at, the Blue Ridge Parkway is how far from the Atlantic Ocean?
From the Atlantic Ocean, it's probably about from the Barrier Islands, which would be the Atlantic Ocean. It's probably about 250 miles in a straight line.
Right.
Okay. Depending upon whether you're north Blue Ridge or you're south Blue Ridge, and so I just wanted to point that out, but. The land doesn't get above 400 feet until you get west of Raleigh. And Raleigh's about 150 miles in. So this is a very low state, and I don't know if people understand that. This state is very low until you get past Raleigh in the foothills.
It's not all that obvious. Just driving around and enjoying the state, it's not all that obvious how close to sea level you are, is it?
No, it's not, because here I am from the coast. I'm probably 100 miles from the Barrier Island straight line. I'm only 62 feet.
Amazing.
People forget about all these big bodies of water that's around besides the ocean. And the other thing I wanted to point out, too, that I've been following this Nibiru thing real close. It's got seven other objects around it. One's about the size of our planet. What these guys might be viewing is one of these smaller planetoid things that could come close to our planet.
Well, it's hard to say.
It's hard to say. Anyhow, I just feel like people should take it seriously, and I just want people for you to, you know, on your show, since they're listening, that this state is a low state, and they need to take the elevation thing very seriously.
They do. Yeah, it's not the distance, it's the elevation. You're right.
Well, let's address that, because that's a good point you bring up there, Michael. And you look at other cities like Sacramento, California. Sacramento is like 62, 65 feet above sea level. And people don't realize how flat that is. And when you, or wherever you have a tsunami type phenomena, that thing will go inland, you know, 90 miles, 100 miles, and think nothing of it.
See what I'm thinking too? The island off the coast of Africa. I can't remember the name. It's in the Easter Island.
The Canary Islands.
Yeah, if that breaks loose, that'd give a tsunami wave of about 300 feet or so all by itself.
Right.
Running about 500 to 1,000 miles per hour. Now, if that breaks loose when this thing is near, you've got to add that water on top of whatever it's doing, and I think my house is going to be under about 200 feet of water.
Well, according to the U.S. Navy, it will be, Michael.
Well, so. Not only 200 feet of water, but 200 feet of water moving at 500 miles an hour. That's a big hammer.
I'd say so.
I don't think my house is going to make it, and that's what I've been trying to tell friends and family about this, and they look at me like I'm from Mars.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
exactly. The thing of it is, you know, I'll say this again to everybody. Just take the opportunity, go on a camping trip. You know, go someplace up in the Blue Ridge Mountains or someplace where you've got some elevation, and maybe even get on the backside of them so that, you know, worst comes to worst, you had a nice weekend out, you can go fishing.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell my family that's going on vacation, if I can get somebody to listen to me.
Well, do what you got to do, Michael. Do what you got to do.
That's all I was calling about. I hate to eat up your valuable time.
Well, it was a good call. We appreciate it. Thank you, Michael.
John, I don't know if you got my note or not, but I sent you a note that if we want to go over today and take this into my show, I intentionally did not schedule a guest. So that if we had callers and they wanted to call in and answer, we can take this into a second hour.
Right.
If you
well, want. I'm prepared to do that. I set aside the time as well, so we can do that. We got another caller here, Bernard in Massachusetts. Good morning, Bernard.
Hello, how are you doing?
Real good.
Well, first of all, thanks so much for presenting this information on the radio. I think it's exemplary. Struck me was you'd mentioned that it was 10 times, the distance would be something like 10 times the diameter of the Earth. And what I was thinking is the diameter of the Earth's circumference is 25,000 miles.
That's right, the
diameter
is half
that. Is the circumference
right.
Divided by pi, so we're talking 8,000 miles. And 10 times that is 80,000 miles. So we're really talking pretty close.
You're right.
I think when this thing comes through,
that's way too close.
I've done a lot of study myself, and they say that these objects usually just move out of the way of each other just by, I don't know, by virtue of mass and things like that. But the reality is that, you know, when this sort of thing happens, we will probably see something coming by us that will take up a third of the sky. So it will be something else. I can hardly remember what else I was going to say, but, you know, here's one. There is a place online that I have been reading this for the last year and a half, and it's called yowza.com, YOWUSA.com, and that guy there has really done a tremendous amount of work. And he brings information from past writings, like the Colburn Bible and stuff like that, where there are the writings that reflect the passing of this thing in past time. So, you know, I think the information's out there, and thank you so much for having the courage to do it.
Well, thank you for the call, Bernard. Mike, you got any follow-up on Bernard's call?
Well, yeah, and whenever... I would think 10 times the diameter of the Earth would be at the nearest it would get. And like I said, I need to put a note of caution out there, and you know, separating what's real information from disinformation, from what could be speculation, and you know, these are all things that, like I said, I really struggle with trying to figure out what's really true, and what we can rely on. And I think as a worst case, that would probably be as close as it would get.
Okay, we got another call here, Eddie in North Carolina. Good morning, Eddie.
John and Mike, I want to congratulate again you guys for a tremendous effort to bring this information to everyone's attention that want to know. My point on this subject is everyone has their own end time understanding of the scriptures, and mine is that we are currently in the fourth trumpet judgment. And the fourth trumpet sounded on Yom Teruah of last year and would begin manifesting on Aviv 1 of this year, which was March the 23rd. And the fourth trumpet judgment is the shortening of the days. And Mike hit the key phrase when he said that this object is God's cue ball. And an object flying at 80,000 miles from the earth would potentially increase the rotational speed of the earth, and which would...
Hold that thought. We got a break here. Hold that thought. We got a break. We'll be right back. Floor, we're ready to do some more radio here. Eddie, we need to wrap up your thoughts so we can move on here. Please, sir.
Yes, sir. Real quick, this is right on time for what my understanding of where we are in the timeline of end-time events, the shortening of the days. And this object, whatever it proves to be, would accomplish that by increasing the rotational speed of the earth 500 miles an hour. Thereby, we would lose one-third of the day and night, 4 hours each. And it's in my understanding, right on time. And everyone has their own understanding, and I respect that. But I see in this event the shortening of the days, and it's the game-changer event.
Absolutely. Thank you for your call, Eddie. Mike, we got Tim from Connecticut here.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, Tim.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Hi. Just one quick comment first. I think Elenin was probably the perfect piece of propaganda to kind of try to create an aura of disbelief for what's coming. And I had a question really quick. I was wondering, do you guys think the tides are going to recede back to some degree before, like, any kind of tsunami or, tidal wave would come crashing over the East Coast or all over the coastline?
Most of us saw the surveillance videos of what happened in the Indian Ocean a number of years ago, where the tide receded just before the tidal wave hit. I'm no oceanographer, but I would expect that would happen again. What do you think, Mike?
Well, yeah, I think it would, too. I think we would see the shoreline would perhaps go out even miles because the size of these tidal waves, these tsunami waves as they're coming in. If you have a 300-foot tsunami coming in, that's going to suck everything in front of it back to build the volume of the wave. This could be an unprecedented, I hate to use the term, but of biblical proportions.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Answer your question, Tim?
Yeah, it sure does. I was explaining that exact thing to some friends of mine who are engineers last night. And they were kind of laughing, but I told them, you know what, keep an eye on your show today, and I hope you get this posted on YouTube right away because I want to put this on my Facebook. And, you know, I just want to get the word out and do just what you say. You know what, just take the information, research it yourself, and, you know, see what you come up with because I've looked into this myself, and I really do believe that, you know, there's a lot more to this story than the average person would think by just listening to your show.
Absolutely. Thank you.
It makes me nervous, and I am prepared to, get up north.
Just a piece of advice, and this is for everyone listening. Make sure you've got a full tank of gas. Make sure you've got extra food. Make sure you've got a method of defending yourself. I don't know if you have propane tanks or how you cook, whatever, but just have a couple extra things with you just to make it a little bit easier because whatever we prepare for, we're always going to be prepared for the wrong thing. And you know, it's just the nature of it. Whatever plan you make, it always goes sideways on you. So just be as prepared as you can and be flexible in your planning.
Thanks for the call, Tim. We got Jody in Florida. Good morning, Jody. Jody, you're on the air. Well, here's our top of the hour break. I hand it off to you, Mike. We'll stay. We'll be right in here.
Okay. Well, we'll stick through it, and we'll go a second hour.